Okay, so welcome back.
Welcome back. Let's recap. I'm going to die and I can't save myself. And I want to live.
Not just from drugs and alcohol. From life. Killing me.
I'm dominated by my desires. I'm dominated by pleasure. I'm dominated by my thinking. What you think about me, it's really what I think about me. I think you're thinking it, but it's what I think about me. I'm dominated by it. I have no recourse, so I'm forced back to the relationship where I have the most conflict, which is a relationship with the higher power. I'm forced back there. If I'm not in the corner, I don't go there. I go somewhere else. I come to believe that that's the situation. So I make a decision based on that. I'm going to die. I can't save me. I want to live. And I see that my only solution is invisible.
So I think.
Jen. And as a physical behavior action of the decision that I make, I start an inventory. And I look at what I'm pissed at. And I look at how I end up seeing how I am in relationship to human beings. That's basically what inventory is about. Who I am in the relationship. I'm so busy looking at Miles, but at the end of the inventory, I see who I am to Miles. And then what's true for me and Miles, you know, it's true for me and Tanya, right? It's true for me and Ashley, because I'm the same. I'm the constant. I possess, I own you. You're my friend, my partner, my mother. You didn't get the memo, and I keep trying to give it to you, but you won't conform to my idea of you. And something we talked about last night in the meeting after the meeting. We talked about concrete thinking. So as a child, we are taught things in a particular way based on how the brain receives information. In elementary school, there were the placards around the room. Taught you your ABCs. A. What was the picture on the A? Thank you. Do you understand? You see it right now, don't you?
Yeah.
What was X?
A xylophone. Yeah. 36
years old.
You understand? We're taught ideas, images. God was something. Mom was something. You understand? What color is a fire truck? And you know there's yellow fire trucks. You know there are, don't you? There are yellow fire trucks. They're all, what color are apples?
Red.
Yeah, you want to say red, don't you? But you know there's green apples and yellow ones. Do you see how concrete the thinking is?
Reddish, yellowish.
Do you understand concrete thinking, yes?
Yes.
So boyfriend is supposed to be this. And girlfriend is supposed to be that. Sources of dopamine. Sources of pleasure. Concrete. Why is this important? Because if I've never had the ideas challenged or expanded, I still think like I thought in kindergarten. I still believe, you ask me what color an apple is, I say red. Men are this, bam. Based on my experience with my father, or lack thereof. Television. I know what mom is supposed to be. I saw it on Love Vision. I saw it in other people's homes. You picking up what I'm putting down? So I have these concrete ideas now. Now I've done an inventory, and I think I'm good because I feel better. I've read it to someone, so I'm looking life in the eye. But I still have thinking about things and people. Right? Anyone in a relationship? So after you do the inventory and you read it to your sponsor, how different are you? Not that different, are you? Yeah, some awareness.
Yeah, that's it.
It's hard to translate what I think I know now into different behavior. Because low-key, my concrete is still thinking. My thinking is still concrete. I still think I own my partner. Or if I get free enough to think they own themselves, I still think you should cook. So, here's the question. At step 6, we're no longer talking about drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could. But now it's me and all my wonder, splendid, you know, wonder. So, is sobriety enough? There's 2 paragraphs in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous with step 6 and 7. 2 paragraphs, that's it. That's why we kind of gloss over these and start writing amends cards. Say a prayer, write amends cards. Stay sick as hell. And we will watch each other stay sick as hell in these rooms too. And that's why I can't tell you how I'm behaving when I'm in the car by myself. And that's how I get sicker in the rooms. I'm still living in character defect. I think it's okay because I pay taxes now. That I do what I do. I can't stop doing what I do, so it gets progressively worse. And it becomes the only normal life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it's a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here and a little bit there. I can't tell you because I carry the message from the podium. That I'm sick. I got a virus in my program. And I have pop-ups. Don't you hate pop-ups?
Yeah.
Remember pop-ups? Like, they've gotten something to kill pop-ups now. But isn't it crazy? We used to live with pop-ups. Is sobriety enough? So, the 12 and 12. Step 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. It just sounds ridiculous. What are my defects of character? In my experience, my sponsor wrote down the things that, based on my inventory, what they heard, what he heard as defects of character, like self-righteousness and judgmental, being judgmental. What your experience should not be happening to you. You should not be doing that. You should be doing something else, but not that. I think I know what's going to evolve your spirit, so I'm making a judgment call on what your behavior is. like my crack addiction wasn't the best thing that ever happened to me. Okay. So I will kill a relationship being right. Kill it. Dead. Anybody else who suggests me? Yeah. I know everything. I sponsor people. I know everything about everything else, too. Don't you? Right? I'm covetous. So I'm not happy that you have it. I want it. I don't want you to have it even. I'm jealous. I gossip. Yeah? I'm gluttonous. I have sloth. The clutter of my car is the clutter of my life. And there's clutter. Me. All this good shit going on. Yeah? Okay. So, this is the step that separates the men from the boys. Uh-oh. Calling you out. The women from the girls. You want to stay the same? Look, let's go back. If I need this, oneness, to be the agent, I need to remove, ask God to remove anything from me that will block me from oneness. Now, what I've come to know is that I have to have enough experiences with self-righteousness before I become ready to have, right? And so I made a list of the things. Well, the sponsor made the list. I wrote it on a fresh piece of paper, and I was like, I'm ready to give up lust. So I was ready for that because lust has caused me enough pain. There was some off the top that I was just ready to give up, to try to practice something different. Like, I didn't want to sleep with anyone else's husband. That was good. Check that one off.
Yeah.
But some of the other things which I thought were my skill set, you know, my resume, where I didn't trust my higher power, where I would use sexiness to get what I want. Anybody else? Right?
How about liking you and I'm really lusting for you?
Living the lie. Mm-hmm. I don't recognize it.
Disguise defects. How about greed dressed up as ambition? But you're just greedy because you believe the more money you have, the more secure you are. That's just a couple of them. Disguised defects of character.
Or feeling wronged all the time.
How about control? Dressed up as concern. I'm so concerned about you. If you would only just do this. Disguise these defects. That's why, and we're going to say it again. Okay. We're going to talk about sponsor and sponsorship tomorrow. I need somebody that's properly armed with facts about themselves. Properly armed. I didn't say it. They said it. Who wrote that book? I have to have that. I cannot have middle of the road. Heroin wasn't middle of the road, was it? Anybody had middle of the road drugs? Raise your hand if you had middle of the road drugs. Right?
Only in swerving across the middle of the road.
Right. Did anybody want middle of the road drugs?
No.
No. Okay. So.
So again, we are back at willingness. Willingness is indispensable. I had to be willing to believe. Now I have to be willing to believe that this higher power that I've decided to turn my will and my life over to the care of it, and that I've shown the evidence of it by writing an inventory. Here's this willingness again. I have to be willing to have this thing remove the things from me that block me from being an agency, that block me from being of maximum service, that block me from loving you and receiving the love that you have in your heart to give to me. I can't release my gifts if I'm blocked because of my selfish needs, my selfish desires, my insecurity. Like, I think I need to control the environments in which I am in order to feel safe, because there's a part of me that doesn't feel safe and hasn't felt safe for a long time. So I get in relationships with people that like me more than I like them.
Say that again. Who said that?
And 10 years later,
No, not 10. Maybe 5. Well, how about 6 months? My God, what did I do?
Because I live there now. Mm-hmm. I moved in 5 months ago.
So you're starting stuff then? No? Right.
Right? I don't trust God. I trust me. Yeah. Denial. Minimization. Justification. All symptoms of alcoholism and drug addiction. If you have a cold, you have a cough, sniff, runny nose, denial, justification, minimization. Got it? It's the symptoms of this disorder. And I'll make my life decisions based on it. So my favorite part in step 6, and I'll just jump to cut to the chase. The same question you've been asking all day. Haven't been granted a perfect release from alcoholism. I haven't had any. Why then shouldn't I be able to achieve by the same means a perfect release from every other difficulty or defect? I don't hit the pipe anymore. How is that possible? Yet insecurity exists. Why can't I have the same release from it? So, this is good. Talks about alcohol. When men and women pour so much alcohol, you know, heroin, meth, crack, into themselves, that they destroy their lives, they commit a most unnatural act. Anyone identify with that? Okay? Defying their instinctive desire for self-preservation, they seem bent upon self-destruction. They work against their own deepest instinct. And I have that in my book. What I've written is, am I doing this again? Am I working against my deepest instinct? Am I working against self-preservation again? I smoked cigarettes for 10 years after getting sober. And this is just, you know, to fuck you up. Sorry.
It's okay.
I had to ask myself, what the fuck are you smoking cigarettes for? You gonna get sober and still kill yourself? I also have written right here, I will kill myself. I eat sugar like it doesn't really go in my body. That's the kind of denial I have. Other people catch shit, not me. Unprotected sex. Who's having unprotected sex? Raise your hand. Come on!
Okay, let's put it like this. Who's having protected sex?
No one.
So nobody's having sex.
That's I'm talking about. It's deep, man. Now you understand what I'm saying. I love that. My mom would say, you don't believe that fat meat is greasy. That's what she would say to me. And fat meat is greasy. Fat meat is greasy. So
is good, though.
Mm-hmm. It goes on to say, as they are humbled by the terrific beating administered by alcohol, administered by unprotected sex, administered, you understand, by smoking cigarettes, the grace of God can enter them and expel their obsession. Here, their powerful instinct to live can cooperate fully with their Creator's desire to give them new life. For nature and God alike abhor suicide. So I'm going to...
Read that again?
Sure. First we say that I worked against my own instinct. Nothing kills itself, okay? As they are humbled by the terrific beating administered by alcohol... Are you humbled? The grace of God can enter them and expel their obsession. Here, their powerful instinct to live can cooperate fully with their Creator's desire to give them new life. For nature and God alike abhor suicide. Abhor? Hate.
Yep.
Against. So this is my favorite part. I love it a lot. So it also goes on to say it is nowhere evident, at least in this life, that our Creator expects us fully to eliminate our instinctual drives. Mm. So I don't want you to go thinking, oh, shit, I can't want anything. I can't have anything. I can't have any desires. Oh, I'm sinful. Relapse. You know, like, I don't want you thinking that. That's not what we're talking about here. Okay? So far as we know, it is nowhere on record that God has completely removed from any human being all his natural drives. Since most of us are born with an abundance of natural desires, right? It isn't strange that we often let these desires far exceed their intended purpose. When they drive us blindly, or we willfully demand that they supply us with more satisfactions or pleasures than are possible or due us, that is the point at which we depart from the degree of perfection, estrangement, that God wishes for us here on earth. That is the measure of our character defects, or if you wish, of our sins. Now let's talk about it a little bit. So, I'll use from my own book. Okay. So, I like you. You like me. We go out on a date. And I decide right there whether we're going to spend the rest of our life together. That's what we do. Men, that's what we do. Ladies, that's what we do. Day one. He can hit it. We decide.
Unprotected.
I'm protecting. Right? Because it's a vibe thing.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I like you, you like me, so it seems. So, I got to hurry up and hit it so you'll know I'm the queen of vagina and...
Vagina heaven.
Vagina heaven.
Right.
Because I have the best.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Come on, let's go.
And
shit, we going. We might as well go, right?
Going.
All right, let's go.
Because everyone understands this language.
That's right.
Okay, so now I enjoyed it. It was good to me. So, although I like spending time with you and you like spending time with me, now I've experienced pleasure. So now, unbeknownst to me, you are my new source of pleasure. And because I feel so good when I'm with you, I feel like I'm whole. And you compliment me, and you do the things that I always wanted my father to do. And you picking up what I'm putting down? And now I need you in my life.
And I really like you.
I'm vulnerable. Right? Now, I don't go to as many meetings, and now I don't pray and review as much as I used to, and... you know, everything is about what you like now. There's an imbalance there. You hear it? There's nothing wrong with intimacy and good love. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying now I need you to be more than what you were intended to be in my life. Remember, this is who I am. This is who you are. How can you make me whole? There's so many love songs about it. No. Got you thinking this shit is true.
Yeah.
I'm already whole. That's the truth.
I've got sunshine.
Huh? Yes.
On a cloudy day.
Now I'm sunshine. You're sunshine.
Yeah.
There's so all the love songs say, I need your ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that's what love is. My desperate ass. Mm-hmm. So I don't know I'm whole. I think I'm a fraction. Hear your fraction ass come. Because I'm not going to seek water higher than my own level. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm only going to draw into me. That's why I said it's not the other person. You're in a relationship with yourself. So all of a sudden, I can't see my oneness with God because it's perverse. You understand? It's perversion that I've made you be the thing in my life that only God could ever be. I need you to make me feel better. That's fucked. Because what happens if you want out? All my eggs in your basket. My self-esteem is based on the fact that you like me. My self-esteem is based on this. It has to be internal because beauty fades. You know that gravity thing we were talking about? It's pulling at your ass right now. These used to sit up here. They don't. You understand? Yeah. Skin that used to be up here is down here. Gravity. So it's got to be internal. I love this part in the book. So, listen to this. I'm going to read it again. When they drive us blindly, or we willfully demand that they supply us with more satisfaction or pleasure than are possible or do us, that is the point of which we depart from the degree of perfection that God wishes for us here on earth. That is the measure of our character defect. When I think it's in the world, when I live outside of integrity, that's what step five was about. When my soul tells me don't, and I do it. Do you know what I'm talking about? My soul says, man, don't do that. Run. It is an abusive relationship. It is. But I text anyway. I was already given my out. The universe lined it up so I can get out scot-free. And I don't text for 60 days. And then a song comes on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You getting a better picture of character defect? I think it's in the world. I think it's in the world. I think my answers are in the world. So whatever it is I do to try to get the stuff in the world. So, progress, not perfection. It goes on to, you know, talk about different things, different ways that it shows up. But my favorite thing is that the book says that procrastination is a five-syllable word for sloth. So those of you that think you work best when your back is against the wall, that's sloth. It is a deadly sin. It creates anxiety. It allows you not to be your most creative self. It is you doing what you feel like doing, nothing. You have lied to yourself long enough. Release that today, if you can. Remember, it's a program of action, not sloth. Okay. Any questions? I'd like to hear your voices. And then we can move on to step seven, which is really about humility. Who has a burning desire? Nobody's on fire. Who's living in six and aware of it? Go ahead and talk about it.
All that relationship stuff still exists. Like, my soul's telling me no, but I do it. And it's come back recently. I had a break from it, like you said. Like, the opportunity was there to, like, escape it. But then it came back, and it was obviously meant to not do with it what I did. And it's glaring and it's painful.
It's what?
It's glaring.
The book says remove that which is objectionable. Very simple question you can ask yourself, does it work? How's that working for you? Mark used to say to me, how's that working for you, Mark? And when I take a clear-cut look at it, it wasn't killing me. Be killing me. That let me know it's time for it to go. And there's stuff that I can't get rid of on my own power. You might not have the power to do anything about that whole situation you're going through. You need God's help. But the question is, do you want it? You might be comfortable exactly where you are in what you are because you're comfortable with knowing what's going to happen, as opposed to stepping out into you don't know where you're going. That's the deal. Am I willing to trust God knows where I'm going? Am I willing to trust that? So it goes all the way back to step three, which goes all the way back to step one. It's always about step one.
It's always about step
one. We think we know. Always about step one. You keep fucking with it because you think you got some power to fix it. And you're going to do that for as long as you have to do that until what? You become thoroughly convinced. Welcome to the club.
Yes.
The club in the club. We don't straighten out overnight. Take experiences exactly like you're talking about. For some of us, but in different areas of our life, because we're not giving up the fight. Why? Because I'm God. It's exactly what we've been talking about all weekend. When it affects this, it's time for real action.
Mm-hmm.
Real action.
Do you hear that?
Joe used to say, if you ain't having fun with your defects, something is wrong. Little stuff that's been passed down to me. If you're not having fun with your character defects, something is wrong. Are you having fun? Okay. Well, it's time to do something. You got a sponsor? You in the work? Where at? Get ready to do five. Good place. Great place. New attitude and new relationship. Intent for five. Like Delana said, it separates the boys from the men and the girls from the women. Are you ready to move? Are you really ready to move? And if you're not, you stay where you are. And you'll continue to do the work. Here's another piece with seven. Sometimes God leaves you with stuff. He don't take the thorn out of your side. John said, take it, man, take it. Please take it. He said, no, I'm not taking it. Mm-hmm. But I get to learn how to live with it. You following? So I'm not saying what you're going through and what's going to happen for you that it'll be peaches and cream and frolics through the park. I don't know. Maybe you might have to learn how to live with it. But know something's going to happen with it. If you're in the work and you're doing the work and you're turning your life and your will over to the care of God, something's going to happen with it. The piece to that is none of my business. When it's revealed, I just need to move with it. Trust God. Like Delana said, 6 and 7 are the two shortest steps in the book, but they're the two biggest steps in the book. And all you need to do them is willingness. I'm willing for you to take this and move. And don't worry about the results. Just move. Become a seeker of truth.
So those of you that may be heavy of heart, wondering about how you're going to do this perfectly, Ashley. Is she in the room? No. Ashley's friends. It says, many will at once ask, how can we accept the entire implication of step 6? Why? That is perfection. This sounds like a hard question, but practically speaking, it isn't. Only step 1, where we made the 100% admission we were powerless over alcohol, can be practiced with absolute perfection. Only step 1. The remaining 11 steps state perfect ideals. They're goals toward which we look and the measuring stick by which we estimate our progress. Seen in this light, step 6 is still difficult, but not at all impossible. To be ready. To be ready. So that same relationship, she becomes my master teacher. And that same relationship, I say, I realize that nothing is against me, everything is for me. Everything is for me. My last relapse was for me. I built that muscle through it. So I don't curse those things, those experiences. Bitter they may be. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to live in your greatness? Or do you want to keep playing small? Are you ready to be rid of your smallness? Are you ready to wear your wings? This book warns, do not delay. Get ready. Stay ready. Remain teachable. That is our definition of humility. Let your perverse need teach you to not need it anymore. Yes? So your voices are energy. Sound is life. What if we actually are just a bunch of sound and form? Who's sitting on something? Who's sitting on it? Who wants to expose it? Who wants to confess it in front of their fellows? Yes.
That's right.
Sloth is a bitch. Amends. Don't do them and die.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
My life is a mess because I've been dancing around instead of being in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been a sponsor. I've been playing God. I've been my sponsor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've been everything. Just everything. Right? I know it all. Been there, done that. Don't need to do it again. My relationship's a mess. God gave me my out. I mean, the signs were there right up until I was the last passenger to get on the airplane flying back from Tucson to Georgia. But then there's a reason now. See, God works it all out because I'm here. So I, you know, right?
Yep.
So am I ready? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been living in my defects, and then I need a competent sponsor to take me through the steps again.
Which defect are you living in right now? Which one's killing, sucking your life out? Which one?
It's a lot of different ones at the same time.
Uh-huh. There's that bullshit. You're going to save your face, you're going to save your ass.
I just want to say to you, your life isn't a mess. Your life is exactly where it's supposed to be. You're just not ready to learn the lessons. You have brought you to your lessons. There's a saying that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Hello.
And your life has been your teacher, but you're not ready to learn the lessons. And it's okay. God will grace you with his grace until you're ready, hopefully.
One more.
I got one.
Uh-huh.
She said yes.
So I got this idea that I'm unwilling to let go of. It kind of permeates underneath a lot of the stuff that's negative. Even though I've been sober for a while and haven't had some experience, you know, I still have this idea that God wants me to suffer.
God wants you to suffer.
God wants me to suffer.
Mm-hmm. The universe says yes.
What's that?
The universe says yes.
The universe says yes, and I manifest it.
Of course.
You know.
Whatever you believe. Whatever you want.
Yeah, but who really wants you to suffer?
Me.
Right.
Because
I'm
putting the footwork in there.
Of course you are.
Yeah. You're putting the energy into it.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeding it.
Even flipping what could be a blessing into something negative.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
Conflict is good. Contrast is good. We call it suffering. Contrast is beautiful. It lets us recognize what we want. But we focus on what we don't want, so that's why we suffer. You have contrast in your life. You know, shit go wrong, not your way. It should allow you to focus on what I want so I can create that. But I'm so busy focusing on what I don't want. So guess what I create? That. It's a law, like gravity. You were here, you didn't miss that part. Somebody teach him about gravity later at dinner. Oh, don't talk. Teach him about gravity later. All right, I'm done.
Early AAs believed God was willing and able to change them. They expected the change to occur if they asked him for it. Have you asked?
Okay.
I mean, really asked.
I don't know.
Right.
We're going to be honest.
All right. Yeah, I'd like you to be honest, yeah.
Have you? I think I should have kept enough.
Right.
No! No, baby. No.
Don't do that. It says, in his correspondence with Dr. Carl Jung, Bill Wilson wrote the great psychiatrist about conversion and conversion experiences. As to Rolling Hazard and the conversion experience that released him for the time being from his compulsion to drink. A conversion experience certainly meant, among other things, to Bill and to Bill's spiritual teachers that one had been born again to the Spirit. So there's a rebirth that has to happen. But it's not going to happen until you're ready for it to happen. When you get tired of feeding that demon, you surrender. When you get tired. For real. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is about rebirth. This is about the old me dying and a new one being reborn. Does your old you work anymore? And if it's not, it's probably time for rebirth. And get this, I ain't just talking to the newcomer. I ain't only talking to the newcomer. We got to shed layers. We got to shed consistently. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So when you're twisted and mangled, ask yourself, how's it working for you? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil or resist the disease, and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Spiritual tenets that the basis of our program, the foundation that it was built on, biblical stuff. It's not readily talked about in the rooms as freely as we're talking about it here this weekend. And I believe they don't do it because they don't want to run people away. That's why they softened the big book. I think it needs to be talked about. Clarence S. illustrated the seven-step process by characterizing it as the step where the new manager, God, got out the tape eraser and erased the defects identified in step four, confessed in step 5, and renounced in step 6. He said the assurance of God's help was given in the Sermon on the Mount. Anybody heard that book, Sermon on the Mount, by Emmett Fox? Yeah. Matthew 7:7-11. The fullness of God's forgiveness which set forth in Psalms 103:10-12. And the procedure for praying with other believers to secure removal was set forth in James 5:13-16. Biblical foundations here. Do some exploration on your own. There's a whole bunch of books you can read. But read this one first. Complete 1 through 12 first. Get a foundation first. Go ahead, Delana.
My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen.
So here's what we're going to do, because a couple people in here need it. Just felt it. We're going to make a circle. We're going to get on our knees. We're going to say the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer. Be still for a minute and take a break. Let's go. If you're like me and getting down is hard and getting up is hard, get a chair. Let's get down. On your knees, hold hands. You can do it.
Just grab a hand, Tony. There you go. Okay, good.
Somebody hit them lights in the back there. Some of you, not all of you, did what I asked last night. No, I didn't ask it. Spirit asked it to help you. Current unmanageability. Stuff that you need to take to God because you can't fix it. You've been trying. You've been trying with all your might to make it right, to get some sense of ease and comfort. It hasn't worked. Let's take it to God. Third step prayer and seventh step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, of thy love, and of thy way of life. May I do thy will always. My Creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do thy bidding. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break.